Okay, great. We'd like to welcome everybody to the call here tonight. We have John Bridges, CEO of Natural Persuasion Technologies, as well as myself. My name is Scott Malley. I'm the president of Natural Persuasion Technologies. Just to give you a little background on us, Natural Persuasion Technologies has been around about 3 years now. We started the company in 1996 to help people apply the tools of persuasion and influence to both business and personal situations. And we wanted to really teach people the concepts of persuading not only themselves, but others as well. And, John, I'll let you talk a little bit about your background here.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Scott. Just to talk a little bit about myself, my background is primarily in hypnosis. I've been a professional hypnotist for almost 9 years now, and I'm trained in both traditional hypnosis and also Ericksonian hypnosis, which is a very fascinating advanced type of hypnosis that actually was one of the inspirations for neuro-linguistic programming. And I've been, like Scott, I've had an experience and a background in NLP or neuro-linguistic programming for about 15, almost 20 years now.
That's great. Yeah, and as John said, I've been involved with NLP for about 15 years. I'm a certified master practitioner of NLP as well as a trainer. I'm also a certified coach. I've also got a vast experience in business. I helped one company go from a small group of 4 people to over 100 employees and was eventually sold to a Fortune 500 company. So we've got a lot of very practical approaches to using NLP and hypnosis in the business world, and that's really the approach, kind of the unique approach that we're taking here tonight with some of the tools we're going to be sharing with you guys. I want to say hello to everybody. We've got our newsletter, NPT Breakthroughs, is read in 31 countries around the world, so we want to say hello to everyone around the world, whoever's listening, wherever you're at, hello, and welcome to the call. This is the first in a series of calls we're going to be conducting for our Club NPT. And our Club NPT, we'll talk about a little bit more at the end of the call, but it's a monthly club that we're going to go over different topics that impact your ability to persuade and influence both yourself and others as well. So we're excited tonight to talk about the first topic we have lined up is creating powerful emotions. And what we wanted to start off talking about is what are emotions and what are states?
Okay. Yeah, and Scott, I'll take this part over. Let's talk about states for a moment. You know, when we talk about mental and emotional states, the analogy that I like to use when talking about different states that a person can be in, I like to think about states as if they were rooms in your house. If you were in your home, you'd obviously know that, let's say, your bathroom is not the best place to sleep, or your kitchen is not the best place to work out and exercise. Every room in your house has certain equipment in it. It's set up in a certain way so you can access certain resources. It's the same thing with our mental house. When we're in different states, we can access certain resources and we can't access others. For example, when a person is in a state of anger, they're not in a state that is really conducive to them experiencing or feeling love or being sensitive to others. On the flip side, when a person's angry, they are likely to act, and sometimes act impulsively, because that feeling of action is a resource that's readily available to them when they're in that particular state. So it's important that we understand what mental and emotional states are, and it's important to understand that really this whole teleseminar that we're doing here tonight is really about how to really successfully access resources within yourself. So when we talk about getting into different states, we're talking about putting yourself in connection with those resources that are going to be most useful to you. Okay?
Absolutely. And you know, John, one of the things we talked about is why the ability to transform your state is instantly is so important. And I think, you know, one of the things that you and I have discussed is the ability to control your state is what really helps you propel yourself into action. And really, people who are successful have that bias for action. They think more decisively, they act more decisively. So it's that ability to control your state and get yourself to take action that's really vital to success.
Yeah, that's true. You know, when, you know, Scott and I have both had the good fortune of interacting with a lot of people who are really at some of the, you know, very high echelons of success. And we're not just talking about financially, we're talking about spiritually, we're talking about communally, interpersonally. They are very successful people. And one of the things that I've really noticed about people that are dynamic and that are successful is that they have that bias for action that you mentioned there, Scott. In other words, when they think about making a decision, they do their best to make the right decision, but then they take action on it, and then they follow through to make that decision correct. So, you know, they have that natural inclination to take action, and they're very good at mastering their states. They know that if they need to complete a project, they've got to get themselves in a state where they can follow through and actually do something. So, yeah, managing your state is an incredibly powerful thing. It's one of the keys, I think, to becoming a successful person.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, and one of the other things that we've talked about is in persuasion influence is you need to emotionally go there first as well. You need to go into the state that you want the person that you're trying to persuade or influence to go into. And I know you've had a lot of experience with that as a hypnotist.
Yeah, exactly. You know, one of the things that, you know, is a little-known secret in the world of hypnosis is that, you know, top hypnotists, they typically go into trance with their hypnotic clients. I know that every time I do a hypnosis session with a client, or, you know, depending on what type of situation I'm helping them with, I go into trance with them. And what happens is this, is that when you go into that state of hypnosis, what you're doing, and when you go into it yourself, being the hypnotist, what you're doing is you're putting yourself in a state that tends to be a little bit contagious. And we'll actually talk about that. I know that's one of the topics that we want to talk about in this teleseminar, is how states are actually contagious. So, you know, we're talking about going there first. That's what we really mean, putting yourself in a state that is conducive to actually persuading others, because your states are, in fact, reflected by the people that you're around.
Absolutely. Well, and people get stuck, you know, and there's some real disempowering states that people can go into before they go into a situation where they may need to persuade or influence someone, whether that someone is a client or a patient they're trying to persuade or a family member. And I think there's really kind of three key disempowering states that people tend to go into that they need to be aware of, and just having that self-awareness is very powerful in and of itself. But I think and the first one that you and I have talked about is apathy.
Mm-hmm.
And what would you say, John, are some of the things that create apathy?
Well, you know, to me, when we talked, you know, we before doing the teleseminar, we really thought about, you know, how can we give our folks out there the most value? And like I said, we identified these three states, and apathy, in my opinion, is probably one of the worst states that a person can get into, because what apathy is when your life and your outlook really lacks passion. You have a lack of belief in what you want to do or the things that you want to accomplish. It's apathy, almost by definition, really, is an absence of emotion. It's an absence of feeling. Nothing motivates a person who's apathetic. And so the reason that's an incredibly disempowering state is because you need passion, you need feeling to actually get yourself to take action. And so apathy is definitely one of the states that we want to look out for, because it's a dangerous state. It can keep you from going out there into the world, going out and chasing your dreams and making things happen.
Yeah, absolutely. It's lack of goals that motivate.
Exactly.
Creates that apathy. Well, and then I think another one that we had talked about is unsurety. You know,
yeah.
I think it's very common when someone goes in to persuade and influence somebody is that feeling of uncertainty, that feeling of, am I going to be able to do this?
Right. And we've all had those feelings of self-doubt when we're confronted with, you know, like an important meeting, or we want to impress a person, or we want to change their mindset on something. And we've all had those moments of self-doubt where we're not really sure whether or not we can pull it off. And the problem, once again, is that whatever emotions, whatever states that we're in, tend to be reflected by the other people around us. They tend to be contagious and drift over to those other people. So if we're unsure or if we doubt ourselves, the net effect, unfortunately, is that it causes other people to doubt us as well.
Absolutely, and that's a killer in persuasion and influence, an absolute killer. And I think, you know, part of the being aware of these three disempowering states is also realizing, being aware of what's happening to yourself internally as well when you go into those states.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're unsure, so you're
true.
Doubtful, what are some of the things that you say to yourself? And I think, you know, everyone listening to this call can think of a time when they were unsure, they were doubtful about whether or not they could do something. Maybe they're getting ready to go up and give a big presentation. Those feelings of doubt started to creep in. Well, right now, if you're listening to this anywhere in the world, just listen to think to yourself, think back to a time that you were doubtful, you were unsure. What did you say to yourself then? What kinds of things? I can't do it. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can pull this thing off. What kind of things did you picture in your mind? What did those images look like? Did you see it kind of working out and not working out at the same time? Those are a lot of the experiences when I coach people, when I work with people one-on-one, a lot of the type of things that they report experiencing before they experience doubt, or if they are experiencing doubt or they're unsure of something. I know I do. You know, in the past, at least, when I experienced those states, those are some of the things that I said to myself. Those are some of the things that I pictured. And then I think the last disempowering state is the state of anger.
Yeah.
Something we've talked about.
Yeah, anger. Anger is really one of the killer states to persuasion. And you see it so often in people that, you know, quite honestly, are amateur persuaders. They want to change somebody's mindset, and what happens, because they really aren't really aware of better strategies for doing so, when they encounter that other person whose mindset they've changed, and that person doesn't respond in the way that they'd hoped, they become angry. And the problem with anger is that it's really a narrow focus state. It's like if we go back to our rooms in the house analogy, anger is a state where the window is very small. In fact, it's a mail slot. You really can't look out and see too much from a state of anger. From a state of anger, you have that lack of perspective because you're so focused on proving the other person wrong or on taking action to help alleviate the painful feelings that are really driving the anger. And because of that, the patterns of response, your ability to persuade people tends to be rather rigid and ineffective. And so anger is definitely one of the killer states to persuasion. When you see amateur salespeople who are dealing with tough clients, whether it's on the phone or in person, and the client's resistant, you see that amateur salesperson will go into that state of anger, a state of frustration, and then it's basically all over, sad to say.
Absolutely. Well, let's touch, we talked a little bit about the disempowering states. Let's talk about the empowering states. What are the decisive states for persuasion and influence?
Well, Scott, in my opinion, I think the first and perhaps the most important state, if you're going to be persuading other people, is a state of passion. And what I mean by that is really having a strong, powerful belief in what it is that you're trying to communicate to the other person. What is it that gets you fired up? And you have to have a passion not only for, you know, what you're trying to convey to that other person, but also a passion for yourself, a passion, a strong, powerful belief in yourself, in your own potential, and your own contribution. So it kind of starts off with that fire in the belly, if you will, that feeling that what you have to offer is something great. And you know what's unique about this, and this is something that I've really studied throughout the years, when you look at people who are great motivators, you know, people in the past, historical figures even, who were able to, you know, to get a crowd fired up or persuade an entire crowd, or even a country in some cases, there were people with passion. And, you know, sometimes for good, sometimes for bad, but they had a passion, and that passion was infectious to other people. The way I look at it from the perspective of a hypnotist is when a person has that level of passion, they are, in a sense, in a self-induced trance. And once again, what happens is when a person's in trance, it's easier to induce trance states in others. And that makes people much more open to suggestions. So when we talk about putting yourself in a state of passion first, it's a really key state, and actually something very simple and yet relatively powerful in terms of its effect on persuasion and influence. So it's absolutely, absolutely key.
Absolutely. I think another state that's key to decisive, being decisive, that's really decisive to effective persuasion and influence is a state of confidence, a state of certainty. If you don't have a state of, if you're not confident when you're trying to persuade someone, that person will pick up on it. Now, if you're passionate, passion will help drive your confidence. That really is kind of the key driving emotion, if you will, I think, for all these decisive emotional states for persuasion and influence. But that feeling of confidence, that feeling of certainty is absolutely key. I don't know if you have ever heard the saying, whoever's the most certain wins, when you're talking about persuasion and influence, but it is absolutely key. And there's a lot of different ways to generate confidence. We're going to share some of those as we get deeper and further into the call. But I just want to mention that is really, really a key state.
Yeah, and, you know, there's something I want to say about confidence, because this is one of those states which is easily, easily misinterpreted, easily misunderstood. When we talk about confidence, we're not talking like a Rambo confidence where, where it doesn't matter how the person objects, you're going to overcome it, or, you know, whatever their resistance that they offer, you're going to overpower them with your persuasion. The idea behind confidence, when we talk about confidence, really, it's kind of more of an easygoing expectation, a powerful, positive, underlying expectation. They're going to believe me. They're going to like what I have to offer. They're going to love it. You know, they're going to love me on top of it. It's that kind of subtle, powerful undercurrent of belief that says, this is going to happen, okay? And having that confidence in that very focused, directed, kind of low-key manner, that's what we mean by having powerful confidence when it comes to persuasion and influence. So it's just a little bit different than what some people might think, and I thought that was important to point that out.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think another area that another decisive state is a state of flexibility. You've got to have flexibility when you're trying to persuade people. You've got to be willing to try different approaches and try different things. I see a lot of salespeople over the years who get stuck. They keep trying to do the same strategy over and over again because it worked a few times for them. So they continue to try and do the same strategy over and over again with each and every person. You have to realize everybody is different. Everybody has different ways of being persuaded. Everyone has different, what we call in NLP, strategies for being persuaded and influenced. And what we want to do is help unlock those strategies. And one of the ways to do that is being flexible in your approach, in your persuasion approach.
Yeah, when we talk about flexibility, we're really talking about the ability to change your behaviors. I think we're also talking about a state of relaxation. You know, when a person's in a flexible state, they have the ability to see things from different perspectives. They have the ability to look at situations and in such a way that they can adapt and really change and flow with what the current situation offers. And I think that's what's key. We talk about the relaxation element of this. One of the things, once again, remember that the focus of your persuasion, whoever that person or persons might be, they're going to pick up on whatever emotional state that you have. So if you're relaxed, guess what? They're going to be relaxed. And that's exactly the state that you want them to be in, because that's going to make them more open to your ideas. It's going to make them, it's going to allow them, I should say, to consider what it is that you're really trying to communicate. So we want to be flexible and relaxed. And it's kind of like, you know, once again, like confidence, the nuances here are important. We don't just mean flexible, being willing to change at any moment. We mean having a goal, having an outcome, but really being willing to adapt to the circumstance to do whatever it takes to achieve it. And we also mean having that relaxation that comes with knowing, you know, you're going to achieve it. And so I think that all comes across. It comes across as a powerful message to the person that you're trying to influence, that, you know, this person knows what they're talking about, they're on the right track, and I'm going to listen to them.
Absolutely. And what would you say the fourth decisive state is, John, for if someone wants to be both persuasive and influential?
Well, you know, my thought on that, Scott, is it's got to be focus. And what I mean by focus is that you start off with a specific outcome, I should say. When you go into a persuasion interaction, the first thing that you should do before you even talk to this other person or you talk to that group, the first thing you want to do is think very carefully, what is the precise outcome that I want to achieve here? What am I really trying to accomplish by going to speak to this person or by, you know, speaking before this group? And so we want to think about what's my specific outcome. And then when you're in the persuasion interaction, maintain a focus on achieving that outcome. Once again, this is one of the areas where amateur persuaders get into a lot of trouble. You know, they're on a sales call, and the customer is showing signs of resistance, and so they become angry, and all of a sudden they lose their focus. They instead of going to make a sale or to persuade that customer or to create a great, you know, business relationship, what happens, they lose their focus, and instead they get into things like trying to prove the other person wrong or teach them the facts of life, none of which has anything to do or any relevance whatsoever to them achieving that outcome that they originally started. So you got to have that focus. And the other thing about this, once again, remember the emotional contagion element about this, is that when you're focused, guess what? The person that you're talking to is going to be focused. They're going to be following you, and you're going to be able to keep them on track and keep them moving in the direction that you want to go because you have that clear focus in your mind, and it's guiding them.
Absolutely, absolutely. So really, just to restate, the four decisive states for persuasion and influence are number one, passion, number two, confidence, number three, flexibility, and number four, focus. So
okay.
The next thing we want to talk about is how do you change your state? So we've identified, we've talked about disempowering states, we've talked about decisive and empowering states. Now we want to talk about, okay, well, how do you change your state?
Yeah.
And I think the first strategy we want to talk about is one that's that I learned probably 15 or so years ago, but it's been an extremely, extremely helpful strategy, and it has to do with your physiology.
Mm-hmm.
And really, shifting your physiology is one of the quickest ways to really shift yourself from a disempowering state to an empowering state. If you think back, one of the states we talked about earlier on the call was this state of unsurety, the state of doubt. And right now, everyone listening to the call, I'd like you to just go ahead and go back to that state of doubt, that state of unsurety, that state of being uncertain, and realize and recognize what you do with your physiology when you change your physiology. What do you do? Typically, if you're feeling uncertain or doubtful, your shoulders are kind of slumped. You'll notice your breathing is kind of shallow. Your eyes are tend to be down. Your chin tends to be a little bit down. Kind of, your breathing, again, tends to be a little shallow, and you can feel using the physiology that you take on when you take on that state of doubt, that state of uncertainty. And just realize how that feels in your body. Now, what I want you to do is shake it out, and I want you to take yourself and put yourself in a state of absolute certainty, absolute confidence that what it is you want to accomplish, you're going to accomplish. Think back, if you can think of a specific time when you were in a state of absolute confidence. How did you stand? What did you say to yourself? Put your shoulders back, your head up, breathe deep. Any other gestures, anything else you did? Sometimes when I share this with people say they made a certain arm gesture. Whatever that is, step into it right now and move your body in that way, that movement of absolute certainty, that movement of absolute confidence. And just feel it in your body right now. A lot of times people say they said something to themselves as well. So they went from, well, I'm not sure if I can do this, to, absolutely, I'm on. I know I can do this. I'm going to knock this out of the park. So it's that shift in physiology. So before you go up, maybe you have to do a presentation before a large group you're trying to persuade and influence. Or you have maybe a client or a patient that you're working one-on-one with that you're going to go in and talk to them, try and persuade them to take on this new process that you want them to take on or to sign up for your new product or service. What you want to do is get yourself in that state of absolute confidence and certainty. And one of the quickest ways to do it is to change your physiology. If you think about it, that state of anger. What is anger? Anger is a physiology. It's a movement, right? You're saying certain things to yourself. You're moving your body in a certain way. You're breathing. Your chest tends to be real tight, right? It's hard to be angry if you've got a smile on your face and you're breathing deeply, right? Try it. Try it right now. Try putting a smile on your face and breathing real deep. It's impossible to feel angry or to feel apathy when you're moving your physiology in that manner.
Mm-hmm.
John, anything you wanted to add about physiology?
Well, you know, I mean, those are all great points, Scott. You know, one of the things that I'd like to add, I guess, about physiology is that in Western society, we tend to think of the mind and body as separate. And in Asian culture, for a long time, they've seen the unity between those two things. In fact, they understand that what we do with our bodies does affect our minds, and what we do with our minds does affect our bodies. And I think that that's an awareness that's becoming more and more prevalent in the West as well. But when we talk about physiology, we're really talking about this communication that our body has with our minds. You know, a lot of people are very familiar with the concept of body language. In other words, how we communicate with other people through our bodies. But I also believe that not only do we communicate with other people through our bodies and what we're doing with our bodies, the gestures that we make, but we also communicate with ourselves. And like you were saying, Scott, you know, if a person's depressed or if a person's unsure of themselves, they're probably doing certain things with their body. They've got their head down, as you said, or their eyes down, or their shoulders slumped, or maybe their breathing is shallow. All of those things maybe, you know, are going on with them physiologically. And the way I look at it, it's kind of like when a person puts themselves in that physiological state, it's like their body is saying, oh, we're doing the depression thing, or oh, we're doing the unsurety thing. And then the person actually starts to feel it. And so that process works kind of both ways. Our mind can put our physiology in a certain state, but our physiology can also put our minds in a different state or affect our minds. And so when we talk about physiology, what's really great about physiology and understanding what's going on here is you can change your physiology in a moment. If you're going into a meeting, as you said, if you're going into a meeting or, you know, an important interaction or maybe speaking in front of a group or whatever it is where you need confidence, one of the key emotions to being persuasive. The quickest and probably one of the most powerful ways to do it is to change your physiology. Stand as if. Stand as if you have confidence. Move as if you have confidence. Breathe as if you have confidence. Okay? And when you change your physiology like that, what's going to happen is you're going to find it very easy and very natural to actually begin experiencing those things. So it really is an incredibly powerful and very simple shortcut, if you will, to changing the way you feel. So it's an absolute great way to change your mental and emotional state and adopt a more empowering one.
That's great. Good. Well, and another strategy for shifting your state is what we talk about, what we teach in a lot of our trainings is focus. And really, there's one key way to shift your focus, and that's through the utilization of questions. If you think about it, the whole process of thinking is really the process of asking and answering questions. So if you're in a disempowered state, if you're feeling unsure or you're feeling angry, you know, if you keep saying to yourself, boy, why did this person do this to me? How could this person do this to me? You're going to create a certain state, a state of anger, right? A state of feeling like you've been wronged. And that's not going to get you into the state, that empowering, decisive state that you want to be in a persuasion influence situation. So you shift your focus, shift your questions. If you're having, you know, everyone has challenges come up. But if you shift the questions you're asking yourself, you'll start to shift your emotional state. If you shift your questions from why did this person do this to me, and shift the questions, how are all the ways that this person loves me? Or what are all the reasons I have to be grateful for in my life? Or why am I so happy? You'll start to come up with answers to those questions.
Those are excellent questions, Scott. They really are. You know, just to jump in here, I was going to say, when it comes to focus, you know, what I found is that in working with clients and coaching and, you know, and training, you know, I found that when I talk to people and they tell me about some of the challenges that they're going through, what you find behind a lot of what's going on with them is they're asking questions, and they're questions that presuppose some very bad things. You know, like, you know, people will say things like, you know, why do bad things always happen to me, or why can't I ever get a break? And the problem with a lot of the questions that people ask themselves is they contain those negative presuppositions. If a person says, for instance, why can't I ever get a break? There's an assumption in there that they are never getting a break, that nothing good is ever happening to them. And so I think when we talk about focus and using questions, we want to make sure that the presuppositions that we have built into those questions are positive ones. You know, one of the best questions that I love when it comes to persuasion is, how can I be persuasive? How can I achieve my outcome and have the most fun, the most excitement doing it? And I think, you know, when you ask a good quality question like that, what happens is you're allowing your mind to tap into that incredible data bank that is the unconscious and draw from it some incredible wisdom. And the effect can be sometimes nothing less than magical. It's really incredible.
Yeah, that's a great question. I love that question. Boy, that's worth the teleseminar alone. So we've covered now physiology and focus. And when you combine the two of them, it's a powerful, powerful combination. If you can shift your physiology and shift what you're focusing on at the same time, you can make some radical changes in your emotional state very, very rapidly. I think another area that we want to touch on, and we go over this much more in depth in our NLP practitioner, master practitioner trainings that we conduct, but imagery, shifting what we call, it's an NLP term, but shifting submodalities. What type of imagery are you making in your mind? You know, as we had discussed earlier, you know, when you're feeling unsure, you're feeling doubtful, a lot of times people report seeing it working out and not working out at the same time, or they see the image is kind of gray and fuzzy and not totally clear. But if you shift the imagery and you shift it to seeing it working out, working the way you want it to work out, it's extremely, extremely powerful. And you enhance the colors and you make the image wrap completely around yourself and you add sound to it. There's a lot of great things you can do with imagery to really, really get yourself into a very, very powerful state.
That's true. You know, we talk about imagery and we talk about shifting submodalities. I think the key to understanding this is just understanding that every experience that we have, it has a recipe. You know, if a person's in love, for instance, that experience of feeling in love, there are components to it. And when you shift those components, the overall effect or the feeling or the experience changes. And so when we talk about using imagery and shifting submodalities to change your experience, it's really about directly taking control of the ingredients in that experience. So, for example, just to give you an example of how we might apply imagery specifically to a persuasion and influence situation, let's say you had to go in and talk to your boss about getting a raise, for instance, okay, and you might be experiencing beforehand, you might be experiencing some doubt about whether or not you could do this. So you change your physiology, you do all the other things that we've been talking about, you work towards putting yourself in a confident state. When it comes to imagery, though, what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to, you know, imagine going through the situation in your mind and taking all the elements in it that normally would cause you to feel unsure and shrinking or sapping them of their energy. So, for example, if you know, normally you see your boss as being critical in your mind when you think about them, take that image and suck the life out of it. Make it smaller. Make his voice sound warmer. Make his voice sound friendlier, you know, and deliberately taking control of some of those sub-elements. So as you're thinking about it, you're able to tap into a more powerful state because you're actually controlling that recipe directly for what that experience inside is. So it's a really neat and actually pretty simple, very powerful technique for changing that internal experience.
That's great. Well, and another thing along those lines is self-talk. And that's really the way, obviously, we talk to ourselves, the way we communicate with ourselves. A lot of times, the way we talk to ourselves is absolutely horrible. If we had a friend that talked to us the way we talk to ourselves, we'd never talk to that person again, right? And I think we've all experienced from time to time that negative self-talk. And when you're going into a situation where you're trying to persuade and influence somebody, you need to be very, very aware of the way you're talking to yourself and how you're communicating with yourself, because that can create extreme shifts in your emotions, and you can go from and put yourself in a very disempowering state or a very decisive or empowering state based on what you're saying, the type of things you say to yourself. If you say to yourself, boy, I hope I don't screw this one up, or boy, I hope this person doesn't close the door on me, or boy, I hope this person listens to me this time, or I don't know if they're going to be interested in what I have to say, that's going to create a certain disempowering emotional state. You're not going to be in your peak state when you want to go into that and be your best in that persuasion influence situation. On the other hand, if you're aware of your self-talk, you can create powerful self-talk. And everyone has certain words or phrases that really motivate them, really drive them. And what I'd encourage people to do is identify what those are. You know, it's different things for different people. You know, some people say, you can do it. Other people, it's I know I can do it. I know I can. I know I can. So it's being aware of what your self-talk is, what do you say to yourself to really motivate yourself, and playing with it, having some fun with it, but coming up with some different self-talk, different phrases that you can use, that you can be ready to employ at a moment's notice when you need to be at your absolute best and put yourself in a peak state.
Yeah. You know, I was going to mention about self-talk. I think there's an important thing to discuss with regard to this particular topic. When we're using that self-talk, first of all, you want to get rid of course, any of the negative type of language, those loops that people tend to play, oh, I've never been good at speaking in front of people before, you know, I don't know if I can actually do this, and that kind of self-doubt language, that's pretty obvious. When we talk about how we need to talk in our minds, the important thing I think to emphasize at this point is that we want to make it purely positive. And what I mean by that is it shouldn't be so much about what's going to happen, but what is happening already in our mind. For example, if I am going into a meeting with my boss, okay, or somebody that I want to persuade, the way I want to speak to myself is I want to say things like, you know, I am confident. This is going to happen, or this is happening. You know, I'm getting that raise. I'm going to persuade this person, all right? And stating things in a very positive, affirmative manner, because that registers with the unconscious mind, and it does change our physiology, and it changes our whole aura, if you will, of how we come across. So, it's a reinforcer for that state of passion, that state of confidence, that state of flexibility and focus that we actually had talked about earlier.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, and then I think another kind of key area here is anchoring when you're trying to shift your emotional state and being aware of anchoring. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the term, it's really an NLP term. And what that refers to is a trigger, an emotional trigger that creates a certain emotional reaction within you. So and there's a lot of people will maybe smell a certain smell, and suddenly that'll trigger an emotional reaction. Maybe they'll have a flashback to being a little kid and being in grade school. I've had that happen myself. Or you have, you see, you know, maybe your country's flag, and it creates a feeling of pride. Those are anchors. There's a lot of different anchors that we have throughout our society. And you can actually take control of those anchors and create anchors so that you have that peak emotional feeling in place, and you can deploy it at any time. Do you want to talk about that a little bit, John?
Oh, yeah, sure. You know, when we talk about anchoring, you know, I think one of the key things to remember about anchoring is an anchor is a small part of an experience that tends to bring back the totality of an experience. For instance, Scott had referenced the American flag. You know, if you had a lot of positive experiences when seeing the American flag, that unique image of the red, white, and blue tends to bring back the totality, or tends to reference in your own physiology, in your own unconscious mind, tends to connect all the dots, so to speak, all the other experiences that you've had that have been positive when the American flag has been present. And so when we talk about anchoring, what's great to know, it's important to know, that negative anchoring occurs all the time. You know, people get in situations where something really intense happens, and then something unique happens, and then when, you know, a situation like that comes up later, they tend to go back to that experience. You see that with phobias, for instance. Somebody has a fear of spiders. They saw, you know, maybe they saw a big hairy spider, maybe even on TV in a movie when they were a kid or something, and then later on as an adult, you know, maybe 20 years later, they've suddenly got a fear of a little spider that they see in a corner. It's because they've been anchored to that. Now, the great thing about this is that we can take control over our anchors. we can actually program in positive anchors. We can put ourselves in peak states, and then while in that peak state, utilize an anchor, some unique trigger, as Scott mentioned, that will allow us to access that state again, but this time on demand and consciously at will. So, yes, we can use anchoring, which is a really powerful, very interesting and useful, simple tool drawn from neuro-linguistic programming to actually change our states and to actually direct the course of our life in a much more positive manner. So, anchoring, I can't say enough about it. It's a really fantastic tool. I've used it many, many times when I've had to speak in front of large groups, using anchors beforehand to get myself into a peak state so that I gave it my all. So I can't speak enough about it. It's really a terrific tool.
That's great. That's great. Well, again, I think we've covered a lot of different paths here for changing your state. We talked about physiology. We talked about focus. We talked about imagery, self-talk. We've talked now about anchoring. I think what we want to do now is give you guys an actual experience and an actual exercise that you can go through to really get yourself in a peak state. This exercise that John is going to walk through with you, I want to just let everybody know that this is, I think, one of the most powerful exercises we have out there. John, you asked a question when we were putting this outline together, and what was that question, that empowering question that you had really, that you had asked?
Yeah, we were thinking about, how could we provide the maximum value in conducting this teleseminar. And so I asked a good quality question. I put the question to Scott. I said, Scott, we know all these technologies. We know all these different ways to change states. And both Scott and I, because of our familiarity with NLP and hypnosis over many, many years, we both know all these different methods of changing states. And so I said to him, Scott, if we're going to give these people this, the maximum value, let me ask you this. When you think back on all the different methods and different techniques that we've learned, what is the one that you think is the most powerful? If you had to go into a meeting right now or you had to change your state in a really reliable and powerful way, what would you choose? And Scott came up with this pattern. He referenced this pattern, and that's what we're going to be sharing with you tonight. So I agreed with him. I thought it was fantastic, and I know you guys are going to love it.
You're going to love it. I've used this pattern over the past several years. Whenever I've needed to go, I've had a big meeting, I've had a big presentation to do, and I knew there was going to be a lot of influential people there, and I needed to get myself in a peak state and perform at my absolute best. Or I've needed to lead a sales meeting with over 100 salespeople there. I've needed to get myself in a peak state and have a lot of energy and focus and determination and get myself into a really persuasive, powerful state. So John is going to walk through this exercise with you. Pay attention. It's a incredible, incredible exercise, and definitely worth listening to. And I would encourage you to listen to this recording over and over again, because this exercise is that good.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for that lead-in, Scott. You know, what we want to do here, because I'm going to guide you through a visualization for all the folks that are there around the world and in the U.S., I'm going to guide you through a visualization here. So to help you to take maximum advantage of this, I'm going to pause at certain times so that you can actually start to orient yourself to what I'm directing you to do, whether it's physically or internally. So I want you to get ready here to actually go into it could be a light or even a possibly deep state of hypnosis with yourself. First of all, what you're going to want to do is you want to make sure that you practice this in private first, in some place where you're not going to be disrupted, so that you can get maximum value out of it. So I want you to get ready now as I guide you through this. This is a very powerful and relatively simple pattern that you can use to help transform the way you feel in a matter of just a few short minutes. And you can do this just about anywhere. And it's particularly great if you want to use it, as we've talked about, in preparing right before an important meeting or a situation such as public speaking. Okay, with that said, the first step in this is what you want to do is you want to stand up, make sure that you're standing up, and begin by placing your legs apart. Try to get them about shoulder width apart. And as you do, I want you to allow your eyes to close and then feel your eyelids actually becoming heavy. And if you don't feel them becoming heavy, that's fine. Just go ahead anyway and imagine them becoming nice and heavy. Okay. Now, what I want you to do is once you're standing and you've got your eyelids closed, as I've said to you and I've instructed you, what I want you to do is I want you to take a nice deep breath in and hold it for a moment. And then as you slowly exhale, I want you to just imagine your feet are becoming planted deep into the floor or deep into the ground. In fact, I want you to imagine all of your weight now concentrating and shifting down, down through the length of your body. Almost as if you're now a giant oak tree and you're rooted deeply and firmly in the earth. Okay, excellent. Now what I want you to do is I want you to take both your hands and place both your palms together out immediately in front of your chest, almost like you were praying. And with your palms together, I want you to push them together firmly and slowly, almost as if by doing so now, you're actually beginning to concentrate that life force that's inside of your body, and you're now concentrating it into your palms. All right, now pressing your hands together like that, I want you to begin to visualize, or once again, just simply imagine now, a beautiful, white, warm light, almost like sunlight or starlight, that's beginning to come down now over you, like a pillar of sunlight that's slowly washing down now over your head and your entire body. And as it is slowly working its way down, down toward the ground now, imagine it dissolving, erasing, eliminating all toxic emotions within you, negative emotions such as doubt and fear and feelings of low self-worth. Now I want you to run a mental movie in your mind. And it's a movie in your mind of that activity that you're about to engage in. Whether it's that meeting with that person or with that group. I want you to see that event going exactly as you want it to go in your mind. And I want you to see the people responding in exactly the way that you want them to respond. All right, now as you're seeing that event unfolding now, just as you want it to, become aware now of all the important details. I want you to fill that event with sound and with color and with movement. And then I want you to go inside and I want you to notice carefully what the you in your mental movie is saying to yourself. Perhaps that you in your mental movie is saying things like, "Way to go," or "You're a natural," or "This is fun and this is easy," or "I'm in control over this room." Now, as you hear these positive messages in your mind now, imagine them starting to echo in your mind and simply become aware of how completely confident, completely composed you are already inside. Okay, fantastic. Now, as you continue, what I want you to do is I want you to press your hands even more firmly together for a moment. And I want you to really notice how as you do, you're already becoming more aware. In fact, more aware of an incredibly powerful energy that's already building very rapidly and unstoppably inside of you. Building and starting to radiate now out from the very center, the very core of your being. Building now in strength, in power now. Building now and then exploding outward. And I want you to take your hands and allow your hands to part and allow your arms to fly outward now and away from each other very quickly, even as you shout a resounding yes. Excellent. Now you can open your eyes because you're now in an unstoppable, incredible state. And I want you to know that from this point forward, you're going to be ready to take on just about any challenge and perform at your absolute best. And I also want you to know that whenever you do this exercise, from this point forward, all those positive effects, all those that energy and that power and those wonderful feelings are going to grow in strength. And they're going to become even more reliable so that with repetition, this exercise takes on even more power, even more meaning, and even more value to you. Okay, and I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to guide you through this. So with that said, I'm going to turn it back over to Scott.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks, John. Wow, that was fantastic. I would encourage everyone to go back and listen to that over and over again. We're also going to offer the outline as well as this pattern that John just walked through. We're going to be putting it up on the website so that people can download it and actually see it and copy and go through it. And one of the things you'll find as you go through that exercise, you'll become more and more efficient at it. It'll go faster and faster for you. You'll be able to do it within just a couple of minutes yourself before, like I said, before any big meeting, anything that you have to be ready for. Put yourself in a peak state, you'll be able to go through that exercise and utilize that tool. Well, I think we've covered a lot here tonight. Again, you know, we've talked about, you know, what our states, we've talked about the why the ability to transform your state instantly is so important, especially when we're discussing persuasion and influence. We talked about why people get stuck and what some of the most disempowering states are. We've also talked about the most decisive states for persuasion and influence and what those are. And then we've shared a number of really great techniques and strategies here for changing your state, starting with your physiology, your focus, your imagery, your self-talk. We've talked about anchoring, and John's just walked through a great, great hypnotic peak performance exercise here that combines both NLP and hypnosis. And so I think we've got a lot of great tools here. What I would encourage everybody to do is really go back and practice not only this exercise that John went through, but some of these other strategies we talked about in shifting your state this week, whether it be shifting your physiology, shifting your focus, being aware of the imagery that you're using, your self-talk, and then also being aware of anchors and how those are being utilized in your environment. As I mentioned at the beginning, this is the first in a series of teleseminars we're going to be conducting for our Club NPT. Our Club NPT is a live monthly teleseminar that we conduct, and the topics vary month to month, and they cover both areas of inner influence as well as outer influence. So as we talked about, this month is creating powerful emotions. We've got some of the other topics we're going to be covering in coming months are how to generate instant rapport, creating a powerful identity, becoming a powerful persuader, creating unstoppable confidence, language of the mind, anchoring yourself to success. We talked a little bit about anchoring tonight, the laws of persuasion and influence, utilizing the power of questions, reframing client objections, the art of self-persuasion, and how to utilize metaphors to influence yourself and others, and a heck of a lot more. So those are just some of the things we have coming in, down the road here in the next year or so. We're very, very excited to kick this series off. In addition to the teleseminar, people are also, if you're not able to make the teleseminar, we also have an MP3 recording each month that we're going to be sending out to everyone that's a member. We also, for a very limited time, are going to be offering free email coaching on whatever the monthly topic is to assist you with integration and implementing that particular topic in your life, which is really, really exciting. I'm not sure how long we're going to be able to offer that for, but we do have that out there, at least as of today. And then we also, Club NPT members will get member-only discounts to other live events we're doing. Natural Persuasion Technologies does, we do NLP practitioner, master practitioner training. We also have a two-day, very intensive, very powerful program called Natural Persuasion. And that's kind of our flagship program, as well as a number of other programs that we offer. Well, we've got a number of new products that we're going to be rolling out this year, and anyone who is a member of Club NPT will get discounts to all that. And we are guaranteeing the price of club membership for 1 year. And the last is there's no obligation. If you're not happy with the program, just call, let us know. You can cancel at any time. So typically a program like this goes for anywhere from $99 to $150 a month. We are offering this program, since we're just kicking it off, we're offering it, at least as of today, for $19 a month. So if this is a program you're interested, we've got a lot of great topics, a lot of great tools that we want to get out there in the hands of people. Now is a great time to register to take advantage of some of those offers.
Yeah, fantastic, Scott. Yeah, I just want to answer, you know, respond to all those things that you're saying by just simply stating myself how absolutely how excited I am about what we're going to be doing over the next year. Because with Club MPT, what we're going to be able to do is reach out to people and bring them the latest and greatest technologies that we've discovered and that we've been able to implement and utilize in our live trainings and to share some of that. So to me, it's an absolutely exciting, fun experience. And I look forward to being able to share that with our international listeners as well as those people who are listening to us here in the U.S. So I'm excited.
Absolutely. And if you are interested in attending any of these programs, you can visit our website at www.naturalpersuasiontechnologies.com. We've got a current website that's up there. We've got a brand new website that's going to be coming out here in the next few weeks that we're very, very excited about. Or you can call our office at area, or it's a toll-free number. It's 888-899-1418 is the number to reach our office. So, again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we look forward to you being a member of our NPT club and being a member of the Natural Persuasion family. Take care.
Yes.
Everybody have a great evening.
Yeah, thanks, Scott, and thanks to our listeners. Best wishes and great respect. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Take care, everybody. Good night.
Good night.